Hey guys, welcome to the Nook by the Druid. I'm so, so excited that we are back. The gents have been holding it down on the den, but I'm happy that we are back. This is episode 2 of the Nook, season 4. I'm so excited to be joined by the lovely ladies. We have Tracy Wanjiru here, and we have Claire. We had Claire actually on our first episode of The Nook, so it's always good to have you back.
Thank you.
So I'll let you ladies introduce yourself first before we jump into the conversation for today. So okay. Tracy, go first.
No, I wanted to start with Claire because she just has this very
amazing
energy.
yeah.
So. Please.
Oh, thank you.
Start. She's a member of the Druid.
I am a member. Thank you so much for having me again. It's been an absolute blast. The last time we were here was fantastic. The conversations were wonderful. My name is Claire Karatu, and I am excited to be back on The Nook.
That's it. Karibu.
And Tracy. I'm Tracy Wanjiru, and I'm excited to be here.
Karibu sana.
Beautiful ladies.
How are you girls feeling?
Excited.
Yeah.
I like that you said excited because my default word is always exhausted. But today I wouldn't say I'm exhausted.
You're excited.
I'm excited to be here.
Good.
I'm excited to be here.
So we're going to have a good conversation. Before the cameras were rolling, we had prepped for another conversation.
We did.
But we've just been ambushed. So we're going to go with the flow and go with the questions. Yeah. So the good thing with the Joyride, the questions will guide our conversations. So fret not, okay?
Okay.
All right. So we're going to kickstart. Okay. So the conversation for today is things my dad never told me. Yeah?
Great.
My dad is very much in the picture. Has been there for 30 years. We have a good relationship. He's a really good man. Yeah. So, Tracy, do you want to give context?
So, when they said,
my dad never told me. Yeah.
I was like, my dad never told me anything. Like, we're not even being funny, but like, I didn't have my dad in the picture, so I wasn't told anything by my dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not a sad thing when I look at it, it's just, that's just my story.
Yeah.
And, of course, I wish that my dad was around to tell me things, but no. So I feel like this is also going to be a good learning experience for me, but also the fact that my partner is there for my daughter. I think that also sort of like gives me perspective because there's a lot of things I see them do together. And I'm just like, I wish I had my dad.
Yeah.
So maybe I can give perspective from that point
relationship.
Of view. Yeah, from that relationship.
Okay. My dad's in the picture. My dad has been present in our lives for all my life. Well, most of my life. And yeah, he has taught me a lot in the few things that he's told me. Yeah.
All right, we'll deep dive. I think my dad is a typical African dad. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he's also told me lots of stuff.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Let the questions guide. So, ladies.
It's in the actions.
Yeah. I will give you the honors. So we'll pick a question. We'll each pick a question. Okay. And then we all answer it together.
I feel like I've done my dad a disservice. Mm-hmm. The way he's taken care of. You know what, Dad? Thank you, and I love you, and you've taught me more than anybody has ever taught me on this entire planet. Like, I've learned so much, and that's also through the beatings. Because we were thoroughly whipped.
So I'm going to take this big one. I don't know why it's big, but...
You go. Okay, I'll do the last. I'll do the last round. So, Claire, we can start with you.
Sure.
Okay.
Can I open mine?
Yeah,
sure.
Or we can do it after.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I got number 9, and things I wish my dad taught me. So I'm supposed to say things I wish my dad taught me about having enemies or rivals. Let me tell you, the reason I'm laughing is because my dad is one of the most expressive. You think I'm expressive?
Uh-huh.
My dad is 10 times more expressive than
I
am. So he did not shy away from expressing anger and expressing... when he's not pleased with somebody. And I think he's one of the most honest people I've met because he says what is on his mind. So do I wish that he taught me what it's like having enemies. I saw that because there's a couple of, maybe let me just say one friend that came over and they literally went at it. Like when we were all there, he went at it. He spoke his mind. And when I say expressive, I mean to the point of standing up and yelling. However, what I do wish that he should have told me is how to handle them. Because you see, the thing is, because of watching him handle rivals or fights, I picked up a couple of things from him. So I wish he would have taught me that that's not the way to go about things. That you go about things a little bit more different. And I think I learned that from my mom, though. Yeah, because it was balance. Yeah. Okay.
Was your mom a little bit more like
calm? Opposites. So my mom is, she's never beat us. I've never seen her. When she yells, it's basically because she's yelling for joy. Like she's never shouted at us. She's never pinched us. And so she's very, very patient. So she balanced him. So my dad would always, you know, go up real quick. And my mom would always just be right here. So she always handled us with so much grace and so much, you know, care. So yeah, there was that balance.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So mine.
We need to answer all of us.
Oh, the same one.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yes.
So it's things I wish.
Things I wish my dad taught me about having enemies or rivals.
Okay. So dad, very huge man of the faith.
Yes.
So he believes in love your enemies. You know, you treat them well. When they slap you, I'm not sure this is biblical, but if they slap you on the, what happens?
Turn the other cheek.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, tender women and azako.
Yeah.
I think I wish he told me, because I understand that principle, but sometimes I battle with the concept of like, sometimes you just have to get what's on my mind. And he is a very expressive man, so he never shied away from, like if someone has made him angry, he would really just say what's on his mind in the very nicest way possible. But he also, I think that thing of like loving your enemies, sometimes I believe like, you know, I just need to hate you for the rest of my life because of how you, what you've done to me. So I don't know. It's that careful balance. Yeah.
So what I've seen with my partner is that very much like your dad. Right?
Yeah.
So we're the same. So I'm the very patient, very, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that person slapped you, that's fine. You know, I'm that.
Turn the other cheek.
Yeah, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
So what I've noticed is that our child is very, very expressive in the sense that if they don't want something, you'll know.
Okay.
You know, so it's no. And I love that because one of the biggest issues I've had is me learning how to stand up for myself for the longest time, you know, and it's in very little things like, what do you want to eat? I know I want a pizza, but because I'm so used to, you know, not expressing myself, I'm like, oh, but you want to have chicken? That's fine. We'll have chicken,
you know? But you actually want pizza.
But I want the pizza. And I've noticed that with our child, because if she wants pizza, she'll tell you, I want pizza and I want it with pineapples and I want it in a
she'll
circle.
She'll know everything.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I've noticed that. And it's really good to be expressive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm learning now after, it's sad that it took me having a child to learn that it's okay to really confront situations. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Because like growing up with my mom didn't really express herself. So a lot of in many situations, I saw her been taken advantage of. And I think I subconsciously just picked up a lot of those things. Yeah.
Okay. We'll do the next question.
So the next one is, things I wish my dad taught me about rejection.
Ooh. First.
Where is my daddy?
What did you wish like he had told you? Like
I wish my dad told me that rejection is not about me. Okay. It's not a reflection of the person that I am. Because a lot of times when you think about reflection, you think rejection, you think I've been rejected because I'm like this, like this, like this. No, but that's not always the case, right? Maybe that person just has a different kind of way of seeing things, right? But that doesn't mean that you're bad or you're inadequate. So I feel like that's something that I wish I knew.
Right.
Yeah. Claire?
rejection? I'm trying to think about what I wish he taught me about rejection. Because my dad handles rejection like the best thing ever. It's like, okay, you have refused, let's move on. And it's rejection on what? Is it on an attempt to date you? Is it work? Is it, you know, what business, what are we talking deals, what yeah. rejection yeah are we actually talking about? Because if I think about it, I wish he taught me to feel the rejection and not just sweep it under the rug and move on. Because I've learned now when I'm older, I never really dealt with rejection and all these things very well, because the one thing I do is just move on. It's like, okay, we're not doing this. Okay, what's next? Okay, we're not doing this. What's next? And what that does is sort of just like piles. Yeah. And I never knew what processing some of those emotions really looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I wish.
I think when it comes to rejection, like, there's a clear picture that comes to my mind. So I just finished high school and I'd gotten my A's, and so I was looking at all these Harvard's, Yale's that I wanted to go to, but unfortunately they didn't, like, I applied, I didn't do so well with my SATs, but I was confident that somehow, somewhere, my personal statement would get me into these units. And I remember I didn't get into any, and I think I'd applied to maybe four or five, like none of them, none of them said yes to me. And it was a time, I think it had been drilled in me that A equals Ivy League. A equals Ivy League. So I was sure I was going to Ivy League. So to get like five unis, and one of them was a college. It wasn't even an Ivy League. It was like one of these colleges in the US, still rejected me. I remember like for two whole days, I stayed in my bed crying. And I think it was the first time I had, in my adult mind, at eight, and it wasn't even an adult mind, had processed that there are people who are going to say, like, there are opportunities that are not just going to work out for you. And I remember on the second day, because I was in bed, my dad came and knocked, and he said, you need to get up, because God doesn't dangle things in your face. So if he put a desire in your heart, some way down the line, it's going to materialize.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for my Harvard story. I don't know. Maybe I'll do an executive course or something. Yeah. But I think he's made me understand that a no, if God has put a desire in your heart, some way, somehow, it's going to work out in his own way. And so just, you pick yourself up, you move on, some way, somehow down the line, it's going to make sense.
And you know what? I truly believe that. And no one told me that, but I think it's just like conviction. And it's something I always feel. It's like, there's no way that God could have put something in my head and in my heart for so long for it to just be.
Yeah. Just fun. In my heart.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always think about that, and I'm like, when you think about a loving father, a good God, he wouldn't do that.
There's no way.
So there's always a reason why you feel something so deeply in your heart, and you think about something. And like you're saying, it will materialize. Yeah. It's just that with God also, there's a thing called
there's
time.
There's a time.
that we have to wait on. So I 100% believe in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It stuck with me for till now.
Yeah.
Till now. I'm sure he doesn't even remember it, but I'm sure it's stuck with me till now.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Things I wish, this is twofold. Things I wish my dad told me about male and female friendships. And then things I wish my dad told me about female friendships. I don't know if my dad ever told me about these things.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Like, I don't know if he actively talked to me about male and female friendships. Because, like, boyfriends were just, he never talked to me about friends. Like, he was just okay with it. Like, if you had a guy who was a friend and it wasn't necessarily a relationship, I don't think he told me anything.
Did you ever, like, take boys that you liked home?
Yeah, I did. You and did? He was open. But it was never, like, a conversation of, like, so who's that? So it was just like, oh, nice to meet you.
Right.
How are you guys friends? You go to the same uni? Because I brought guys home in uni, my uni phase. So it wasn't like any, I think he got serious about the guys, the male-female friendships, I think, in once he met Ben.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
or maybe he had that thing of he just knew.
Yeah. And then he was just like, this one is going nowhere. I don't know. I talked to my mom more about male-female friendships. I remember talking to my mom more. So maybe mom told him, but he never. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
What would I have wished? Because it's twofold. Because there are male and female friendships that are not romantic.
Yeah.
And then there are male and female friendships that end up in romance.
Yeah.
So what would I wish you would tell me about male and female? I think maybe he would have helped me understand the male species better. Like, understand. The male species. Because there's a lot of things I see in Ben.
Oh, no.
And then I see, I was like, dad is similar in a way.
My nanny says this thing. It's like, awa na umewote. Nikama wanibaliwa na mama moja.
Like, so maybe. Yeah, maybe walizaliwa na mama moja somewhere.
So I get your point.
Yeah. So I think maybe you would have helped me understand the male species a bit better.
Yeah,
I've had to see things in Ben. I'm like, but that's like dad. So maybe he taught me by his actions, never really just sitting down. And maybe I didn't even like consciously think about them until I see them replayed. And I'm like, oh, so maybe dad, there's a similarity here.
I would say what I wish I knew is how to be in union with a man. Or how to actually just live in the same house with a man. Because you see, my mom raised me. We didn't have men in the house. And the thing is, even with my mom, she didn't want men around the house. So even if she was dating, she I wouldn't know. But you know, tell him, why are you going out too much? But then she would never like openly bring guys home or, you know, any of that stuff. So I grow up and now I'm with someone in a committed relationship and I'm just like, guy,
what's happening here?
What's happening?
Yeah.
So a lot of the things that I see at home, now in my home, I'm just like, wow, I really wish I had my dad to tell me that, you know, this is how you, for example, speak to a man. You know, this is how you take care of a man, you know? Because there's that, in the, you know, when you're raised with a single mom, there's this independence of, I can do everything.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you've been in survival mode for a long time. So it's like you want to do everything and you actually can do everything.
Right.
So it's that sort of like yielding and understanding that you also have a role and your role is not to also be the man.
You have to let him
be the man. Yeah. And also just understanding how like you're saying, the male species.
They're such a weird, true.
So it's like, what do I do? They're annoying.
Did mom have brothers?
Like yes, but they were younger than her.
Okay.
So, and then most of them, I mean, you know, they're mostly around my age.
Okay.
It's like we're growing together, and anyway, the ones who are much older were in Ushago, see them when we go to shags. When they come to Nairobi, it's like for just a holiday. But they wouldn't also just be lingering there.
They're also not like actively present. Got you. Claire?
Things I wish my dad told me. Okay, I'll start off by my dad, like yours, was a very African. And I say was because it changed. I think I remember one of my most traumatic incidences was when... incident was when my sister, where we used to live, so there was a hill, right? And you drive down to enter the estate. And you can literally, every house can see the top of the hill because you have to drive up to get out, right?
Yeah.
And so there was a neighbor that my sister was talking to, and we're quite young then. And she was at the top of the hill. And who's coming back home? My dad. All I remember is hearing a very loud slap. And when everybody looked up the hill, it was my sister getting smacked. She was getting smacked because, one, it was past 6 p.m. She was talking to a boy on the street.
In front of everybody?
And so she was told to enter the car and she was driven back home, right? So we grew up knowing that boys, is a no-go zone. You know, it was... Don't talk to boys, don't play with them, don't have friends who are boys. I mean, when we got slightly older. I got pregnant young, right? And so, fortunately, we had to start having those conversations because clearly here I am, a full-blown mother. Now, eventually, it was first very, very strange having a conversation of boys and friendship and how to be in a house with a man, with my dad. But there's one thing that I do remember him saying is that, and he says it even now quite often, is where lies your greatest strength, therein is your greatest weakness. I'm very loud and vibrant and extravagant and, you know, And
very
so
very warm and welcoming. Yeah.
Thank you. And so he told me, you need to be very careful about that. My husband right now is quite quiet, so you can imagine the conflict that would be in the house. So there's a lot of things that I've come to learn from my dad. But what I do wish he did tell me when it comes to, I think we're like, we've diverted a little bit from it because it's like now based on husbands,
yeah,
but like on friendships, because he had a very close friend when he was working at a certain company, and she would send us gifts. Okay. She would send us gifts like chocolates, all sorts of stuff. So my sister and I knew this friend, but now growing up, she's no longer there. And those are the conversations that I want to have. Why isn't that friend there?
Yeah.
Why was that a problem? Why did that friendship break up? What did you and mom have to deal with
when that friendship
needed to be discussed? Yeah. Because you see, now when you're in your partner, in your partnership, when I'm with my man, there's certain friendships that we have to discuss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I wish my dad told me that, you know what, with male friendships, there are certain things that you're going to need to navigate with your partner. Mm. With female friendship, there are certain things that he needs to navigate with with you.
Yeah.
So I wish my dad taught me that there's going to be a little bit of difficulties when it comes to dealing with female and male friendships when you're in a marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, it brings about a lot of things.
Even when I think about it, can you imagine, for example, I'll put myself in your situation, like, I keep sending Ben gifts. It's like, are you corny?
It wasn't a thing then, but like now we talk about it with my sister. It's like, why was she sending gifts?
You know, when you're younger, you're just like, oh, we get gifts.
Thank you.
But now imagine Tracy now in context, just stop sending us gifts.
Exactly.
Like, what is the business?
But I also want to understand like what was going through mom's mind at that time.
Yeah. Like, so I wish they would actually both
talk
tell
about
me.
It. Yeah.
Like, this is what we had to deal with. We had to tell her stop. The friendship had to end, and it's like, okay.
Oh, that's so late.
Navigating.
That's so late.
And the fact that my sister and I can remember her.
Yeah.
It means vividly. She was very present in our lives. You know what I mean?
Wow. I don't know if I had such a scenario because my parents, the dynamic, and I've seen subconsciously, I've picked it up, is that their dynamic is a friend is a group friend. So it's both our friends. Friends. So a friend, whether female or male, becomes our friend.
Yes.
Yeah. Except female, who is mom's friend, so that the female friendships go on.
Right.
And subconsciously, I found myself picking that up because in our relationship, you'll find like a lot of our closest friends, we all share them, Ben and I. Like we all, I don't know.
I also saw this whole couples thing. So there's we call them cousins, but they're family friends. So then they both had, it was mostly church friends.
Okay.
And all of them were couples. Then their children were our cousins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I guess it's just that aspect of, okay, so do you grow up? Some of the conversations that I wish my dad would have with me is, do you then make sure that when you're looking for friends, you're looking for married friends?
For couple friends,
you know what I mean? That share the same morals and same values. And then what happens if you actually click with a specific male, like, how do you navigate that? It's like, how do you draw the boundaries? That you're just like, okay, I'm married, but we're friends and you're cool.
Yeah.
And this is my husband. You can hang out with us, you know? So those are some of the conversations I would have loved. Honest conversations with my dad. Yeah.
What do you guys wish dad had told us about female friendships? Because I think for me would be the breakups. And I don't think I've had a lot of those. But I don't even know if dad could have spoken on female friendships or if mom would have been the best person to speak on female friendships. Mm. And even just, I know the question is female friendships, but even friendships in general and how they end, how time puts a strain on friendships, how work puts a strain on friendships. Mm. I think dad made it look like it's kawaida and it's so easy. Like you'll just call them up and life will just continue.
Yeah.
And it sounds easy, but for me, I found like it's not that easy. I carry this guilt of like, I should have done more to reach out. I should have, I don't know, the complexities of friendships.
Mm.
I wish dad had talked to me more about that.
I think for me is still on the same point is just to understand that every single friendship is going to be there for a season. You know?
Yeah.
Like we have this expectation that, you know, the friends that we have in high school or in primary school are going to be with us forever.
Yeah.
But then you get to a point, especially when you're married, you realize that it's just you and your partner. Yeah, and it's like, God.
Forever.
Forever.
Just a couple of us.
And
yay.
And just to help us understand that, or rather help me understand that it's okay that life will have those transitions that are really difficult, but understand who you need to really keep close. So this was actually not my dad. This was my tennis coach. And what he used to say was, he always used to tell us, so we used to play, you know, tennis. And then after we used to have like a meeting, which was him actually just trying, now that I look back, he was trying to make sure that our mental being was, mental wellness was okay. So we talk about what's happening in school, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And one thing that he kept repeating was that, this is the palm of your hand, but treat it like your heart, right? So the middle is where your fire is. So always know the people that you want really close to this fire. Wow. And then you always also need to know who you should put So that really stuck to me. He wasn't my dad.
Thank you, tennis coach.
That's a really good analogy.
Taught me that.
Yeah.
And every time that I meet people, I always use that analogy. Who am I bringing close to my heart? Close to my family?
Yeah.
Close to my secrets? Because that's your fire.
Yeah.
You know? And who am I just saying hi, let's take a video, let's whatever, you know.
I like that one. Claire, female friendships or friendships in general?
I don't know. I just wish we had more conversations about everything, honestly.
Really?
Because fortunately, we did get to the point of having open conversations about everything, but I was way older. Because when I was younger, I'd just pick friends, didn't matter, hurt my feelings, move on. And I just wish we had more conversations because I'd be in my room, let's say he's mad at me, he'd yell at me, and not really find out, like, how was your day? What happened? Are you hurt? Are you happy? Yeah, and I just feel like I wish we just had general conversations. Yeah. I can't pick, like, something in specific, but just general conversations, yeah.
Okay, so, before we pick the next one, was your dad really easy to talk to?
Not then.
Now so that you're older?
He is fantastic to talk to. In fact, now I sometimes feel he pushes me a lot to talk to him, but I feel like it's easier to talk to my dad than my mom now.
Really?
Yeah, like cuz there's a level, we're very similar. So there's a level that he understands me and maybe that my mom won't be able to bring out, but he understands me fully, so it's easier to have conversations now. Then it wasn't, because his reaction would be anger. His reaction, and it was always from a place of love. So for example, if you bring up something and let's say it's like a silly question, it would become a lecture. You know those proper African households were just like, what was the point of even asking him? It would be made a 3-hour lecture. So it was very difficult to have open conversations with him about anything.
Mine would turn out into a full-blown sermon. I just wanted to talk to you, sir.
Exactly.
But you know what I wish my dad also taught me was my walk with God. I really wish I had that because I feel like I would have started my walk with God really early.
I think that's what something dad, like, he never played with that. He will teach you Bible verses from here to Timbuktu.
Thank you.
Claire, you can go.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah.
Yay. Number 13. Things I wish my dad taught me about what men truly find attractive and really want.
Ace. That is.
I wish my dad taught me about what men truly find attractive and really want. I don't know. I don't know how to answer this because it's like, do I even want to have that conversation with my dad?
And then the thing is, I feel like if you have that conversation with your dad, you're going to be like, okay, now I want to be attractive. I want to be attractive like that, you know, because that's what a man would want.
Right.
That would be a really awkward conversation to have.
Completely. I don't even see an African dad having that
conversation.
Like, especially that generation. Like, maybe. I would see my mom having it, not my dad.
What do you guys think about maybe having that conversation after you're married?
Maybe.
And it's like, you know, Andrew, maybe cook like this more?
Maybe, but
or,
I
or
just...
wear your dress. But even that would be creepy.
But even now.
Exactly. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. But I feel like now it's actually too far down because like I'm my own person.
Right.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I know what I like. So like I don't think there's anything he would come and tell me like about how to be attractive. I'm like, I figured it out. Right, like that. Right. Thanks, but I've figured it out.
Yeah. Because I'm just like, I think one of the things that I can't thank my dad for is constantly telling me to just be myself.
Yourself.
And the one thing that we always laugh about with my siblings, whenever he'd say, he'd give us a lecture, he would say, your God-given competences. And that's exactly how he says it. Your God-given competences. And so for me, like he says, you're my child and that's enough. You get like you are born of me and we are powerful, we are strong, we are relentless, you know what I mean? And so that in itself, I think he taught me, because it's like if a man doesn't find you attractive that way, then, you know, really he doesn't want you.
Did he say that when you really needed to hear that? Because I'm thinking when we're, for me, I needed to hear that when I was in my teens, my my early 20s, when I'm navigating, because I feel like now... Yes, thank you. You're affirming me and everything. But I feel like I have come, I have bloomed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that you're asking that because it's like, do you think that women would look for it less from their partners and their men if their fathers constantly affirmed their beauty and who they are?
When you're talking about your dad saying God-given competencies and when you're before you actually mentioned this, I was thinking about how I wish I had a dad to tell me that I was beautiful.
Beautiful.
I was enough and I was, you know, just what you're saying.
Yeah.
That if no man finds you attractive, don't worry. I think you're beautiful, baby. You know?
You know what? I think that it can also be a problem. Let me tell you why.
Really?
My dad is like the super... complimenter.
Okay.
Oh, even with his
that's
wife.
You.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's me. Exactly. Because then it's also for like I want you to know that you're beautiful. And you know. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, if I may. There's somebody in my life who isn't as great a complimenter. Do you get as my dad? So then I would always hold whoever I'm dating with the same standard that my dad, because my dad wouldn't sit before us. He'd make sure his ladies have sat down. Then he sits. He would, whenever my mom would walk down the store, look at her, beautiful.
Oh.
You know, look at your mother, beautiful. You know, and I instantly expect that. You know what I mean? Where if I'm walking down the stairs, you know, I'm like,
look at her.
Yeah. But it doesn't come. You know what I mean? So,
but you know what, Claire? I feel like it's better that
than
living in a place of inadequacy.
I get that. I get
because,
that.
Because, you know, like for you and your partner, you know, I feel like it would be easier to just be like, baby, you need to do this more or whatever, than get yourself out of a place of feeling inadequate. That I feel like would hurt their relationship more.
Even more.
You know?
Yeah. Because then you feel like it's a need. Because like, you see, for him, if he says it or not, I'm like, at this time, I tell him, I know I look nice. You know?
Yeah. You don't have to tell me.
So I hear you 100%. Yeah.
But I can also understand what you mean. Sometimes you're just like, say something. Say something.
Yeah.
Things
I wish my dad told me about.
What men truly find attractive and really want.
I think especially in my teens, I spent a lot of time, and maybe teens and 20s, like early campus years, probably even like till I met Ben, I spent a lot of time focusing on how I look, how I present myself, how I sound, all those things, thinking that that's what men are looking for. But really it's deeper than that. And I think I found that with Ben was the one who taught me, like, it's deeper than that. And it's great to look good and it's great to feel good and all those things. And I truly and 100% advocate for them. But that's just not it. Like, there's more to it. And I wish, like, I knew that. I don't think I would have spent so much time trying to prop myself up for certain men, trying to think that that's exactly what they want. And I would have saved myself the hassle of so many relationships.
100%. Now that you mentioned it, in addition to what you were saying, it's like, maybe I do wish that my dad taught me to find my identity in Christ. Do you get what I mean? Where it's like, no one needs to define who you are. Okay, no one needs to define anything. It's just like, your identity lies in God.
Yeah.
What he thinks of you is the only thing that matters.
And that's enough.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think about that all the time when I'm with my child. Because that's one thing I wish I was taught by, you know, dad, mom.
Whoever it was.
Whoever was around me, that just find your identity in God, because that makes everything so much easier.
Yes,
like, really, you're not battling anything. So instead, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how I am now, right? Yeah. After years, many years of just always battling and trying to find myself through what other people would say or how they feel about me. Now I'm just like, man, you want to tell me all it took was just me understanding that what God says is just enough?
You are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I want for my child.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
You will have that.
Go.
6, things I wish my dad told me about adulting. Hey. That it's a lot.
Get out. And it's relentless.
Like, it never ends.
It never ends. Every day something new.
Every day something new. So one thing I wish that my dad also told me about adulting is to make sound financial decisions.
Yeah.
Right? And I say that because for me, I started making money very young. And looking back, I'm just like, girl, you should have done a lot
of that money.
You know?
Yeah.
So I wish my dad was there to tell me, you know, this is what you could do with your money. I don't know if you guys have seen, okay, maybe because my algorithm has changed because now that I'm a parent. So I get a lot of these videos about 10 hacks on how you can make your daughter or your son a billionaire by 17.
Yeah,
you seen some of those?
I've seen those.
So number one. So I really wish my dad did that.
Okay.
Did that for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad about adulting was very, and I think he's still obsessed about, like, you have to settle yourself. You have to, at any one point, you have to be planning on how to settle himself. Like, even today he called me. He was like, I want to have a sit down with you and Ben. I want to know how much money you guys are making. I want to know what's the plan for you guys. Like, what are you guys planning with your lives? Like, you know, maybe you're just running up and down in this Nairobi and you're not making any money. So for him, he's just like, that's adulting is about settling yourself. He's always like, so when are you guys upgrading your car? When are you guys buying a shamba? It's just like, dad, come on.
Come on. Just wait.
Even you didn't have these things at that age. So just relax. So, but for him, it's like, adulting is just settling yourself. You need to keep finding ways to settle yourself.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So this is a funny story. Well, not really funny. It's funny sad. My dad lost his job from a corporate company some time back. And rather than being open about it and telling his family, he woke up every day, got dressed, left the house, and went to work. And now is when he's able to talk about it, because we talk about it and we laugh. And now when we ask him, what were you doing? He said, I was going to the office canteen and sitting down and having lunch and wondering what I'm going to do next. Now, the reason I'm giving that story is because the extent to which parents go through to cover up the difficulties that they had to face raising us is insane.
It's so insane.
I'm like, if we had those conversations where it's like, hey, things are tough right now. We need to tighten our belts. This is what we're going to be doing for the meantime. This is what dad is going to be doing. This is what mom is going to be doing. You guys need to help with housework so that we can, you know, something. Then it would help me, or it would have helped me understand that when these difficulties come later on in life, that it happens and I can be able to deal with it. So for me, I wish my dad would have been open about how difficult life can be. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of difficult cards I've been dealt in life, like so many. And I found myself just having to deal with them by myself because then it wasn't a space where I was taught that you need to talk about these things in order to get help. in order to understand how to be able to navigate these things. So then I ended up just dealing with a lot of my problems on my own as well.
Yeah.
So I wish there was that open space.
You know, when Juro, you reach out to me on WhatsApp and you're like, Tracy, this is what we're going to be talking about, things that you wish your mother told you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh my God, why did they ask me to do this one? And I honestly wanted to say, Manjiro, I can't.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those things I'm like, I guess she didn't teach me anything. No. But I just thought that was a really hard topic. But now that you're mentioning it, one of my points was, and I feel like it really ties into what Claire has said, is the fact that my mom hid a lot of things that we went through. And I wish she just told
you. She talked about it.
Because I don't know if I've said this on this podcast, but like my mom has lived on survival mode for such a long time. And unfortunately, I also
I did that started as well.
Living
survival
mode, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember instances where I said really hurtful things to my mother. Like I remember there's a time I wanted this butter shoe. Bro, I wanted that shoe so bad. And she couldn't buy it for me. And I remember just telling her, Mom, I hate you, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a lot, like, honestly, even thinking about it now, like, I really give my mom a hard time. And I feel like it wouldn't have been that bad if she only told me that our life was different. Right. So just to put it into context, the schools I went, my mom really worked hard to make sure that I went to really good schools, despite the situation that we had, right? So, you know, you're going to schools with people who have a lot of money. And like for me, I never understood, like when we close school, when I'm going home. Sorry, I don't know why this makes me. So we had to cut because
we needed them.
We needed the tissues. So talking about me and my mom's relationship just growing up is always just a very hard topic for me. But yeah, like I was saying, you know, like I went to school and was in situations with like kids my age and they were more fortunate than me. And, you know, going back and seeing the situation at home, I'd just be like, why is this not the way I see it with other kids, you know? Like, why can't I go and have pizza in or, like, chicken in with my friends? Why do I have to be the one left out? Or even if I'm going, I won't order because I don't want to be asked for money, you know, because I won't have the money, you know?
Yeah.
So I just wish that, you know, my dad, my mom in this case just told me, you know what, Tracy, like, this is our reality and we can't afford a lot of things that your friends have.
Can afford, yeah.
And it's okay because it's just for a short time.
Right.
Like, this doesn't mean that your life is always going to be like this.
Yeah.
And my life has not always, hasn't been like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you think, and we were speaking when they went to get us the box of tissues, but do you think we would have processed, because my parents did the same, because I had an elder sister, I had seen that, okay, this is how it goes. Things are not so good. So she took a lot of the blow for, by the time it was getting to me, I think I'd understood a lot of what is happening. So it was easier in that sense for me to quickly adapt. Maybe it was easier for her because I relate a lot when you say, like, my parents really struggled to take us to the best schools. We weren't as fortunate as the kids there, and it never used to make sense why they could afford things we couldn't.
Yeah, you're just it's a shoe, man.
Yeah.
Like, you want to tell me you can't afford a shoe?
How? No, but as a child, though,
as a child, you can't process. Why they have that shoe and I don't have.
Yeah, you know? And why I'm saying it was easier for me, it's because my sister had gone through the same school, so I saw, okay, this is how it works. But do you think we would have processed what exactly Kina Mama saying that there isn't enough money? And think about it even, because I know you guys are moms, and it's our instinct to protect our children as much as possible. So even information that would either stress them, hurt them. I don't know.
What do you think, Tracy? No, the reason I'm saying that is because I don't know if I would have processed. But we also don't understand the level kids understand things.
Okay.
Like, kids understand so much. And I'm speaking from now, my perspective of being a mom. I moved out with my kids, though. I was in and out struggles. But there was this period that we lived in an apartment that we didn't have a TV. And we had maybe just couches. And my dining table had plastic chairs, right? and it was empty for a very long time. And so the kids in the estate would come, but the confidence my kids would have to bring them to this empty house was because of the conversations that I had with them. Mm-hmm. So when they were asked questions like, why don't you guys have a TV? I'd eavesdrop, and one of my older one would say, my mom hasn't bought one, but she's working very hard to be able to buy one.
You know, yeah.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's because I had the conversation with Juliana and Alicia where we don't have this because I don't have the money for it yet, but I am working hard for it. Or we don't have this, or we're not able to do this at the moment, but we'll write it down and we'll work towards making sure that's that powerful. That happens. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so it made it even easier for them, well, from what I saw, because I can only have the conversation with them to find out if it was easy or hard on them, but it made it easier for them to be able to even respond to their peers, you know, on difficult situations. Mm. And let me tell you, kids can be cruel. Kids can be cruel.
Because they're blunt.
They're blunt. And because there's so many conversations that I'd hear with Juliana and her friends, younger, when she was much younger, like a lot of the kids would ask her, like, why aren't your dad and your mom together? Where is your dad? Why did your dad leave your mom? Or who is this and who is that? But because we've had those...
Those questions all the time.
Right? Jesus. And because we've had those conversations with my kids, then they answer very, very, very candidly and confidently.
Yeah.
In fact, one time, my younger one was asked, you have two dads. And she said, no, I have three. And I was like, okay. And she was like, I have my biological dad, my stepdad, and God. And I was so proud. You know what I mean? I was so proud. I was just like, because I've had those candid conversations.
Yeah.
So I do think that we would have been able to to have those conversations.
Because if you don't give your child the confidence, you can't expect anyone else to do that for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's your job to have Those hard conversations.
Right, right.
And we really underestimate, like you were saying, how well kids can understand. Like, for example, my nanny some time back was telling me how her daughter was telling her, you know, mom, usijali, leo kuna stress, usijali kita, everything is going to be okay.
Fine, yeah.
Like, don't worry about tomorrow. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like... wow.
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't have these conversations, then your children are just stuck in a place where they don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Right? So they don't know if you don't have money or if you have money. Mm. So unaninyima.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Know? Yeah. So maybe that's
you
what you're doing.
You process it as kunyimo.
Yeah, you process it as
And that's
as
hurtful.
And,
yeah.
And it is hurtful.
Yeah, yeah.
So then now you have that thing of rejection coming. Yeah. You know?
Mm.
So I really wish, and I... the reason why I say I wish my mom had these conversations with me and even my dad, if he was there,
is
because I would have really seen how hard she tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now that I'm older is when I'm like,
all of that for me,
you know, and I appreciate that. But that doesn't also take away a lot of the hurt that I felt along the way.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the rejection I felt along the way. Mm. So... Talk to your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, use a word that they would understand.
Yeah.
You know, don't use big words or just try and get to their level, but they'll still understand.
Yeah. But talk to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, is it me?
I think I lost it.
I don't know. Who read that question?
Oh, this was, this was me.
Yeah.
Okay. Please pass me the jar. I don't
know. Oh, sure.
Is it this one? Okay. Let me see if it's this one.
There's one you're sitting on.
Where? I'm trying to look for it. Oh.
Perfect.
Oh, this one is the one I hadn't read.
Okay.
Things I wish my dad taught me about regret.
Oh. Oh.
About regret. What are we feeling about regret?
I'm one person who regrets a lot.
Really?
There's a lot of things I regret.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm asking the Lord to really help me with.
Mm.
Because, yeah, when I look back, I regret a lot of things. So if I had my dad around, I wish he told me that you need to let go of the past. You really need to let go of the past and know that if God did that for you, he'll do it for you even greater. Yeah.
Okay.
I struggle with regret, knowing if it's a negative emotion, because I think the world has drilled that I don't have, you know, that saying of like, I don't have regrets. All my things are lessons. I don't know. I struggle to feel. I actually feel regret. So I struggle to feel if like regret. Maybe I'll unpack it in therapy because now dad won't tell me.
Yeah.
But I struggle to feel like if regret is a negative emotion. Is it the worst thing that could happen? I don't know.
I think it's what the regret makes you do. Mm-hmm. So do you beat yourself up for it? Do you, you know, because you see, like now you're saying you're going to unpack it in therapy, which is a perfect way to deal with regret, honestly, to just talk about it and unpack and work it out. And of course, to let God, you know, help you.
You
know, the reason my dad, oh my gosh, my dad has the funniest stories. What would I have wanted him to teach me about regret? Maybe I would have wanted him to teach me to make wiser decisions because he has all sorts of stories to do with regret, but he always makes them funny. So, for example, a business, let me give you a business story that he and his wife did, my mom. So there's a time they were young and they had, we've had lots of conversations, as you can see. I've had lots of conversations with them and they had bought, they were trying to figure out how to feed my firstborn sister. And my dad hadn't been hired yet. My mom used to work at a company. Actually, she used to work for Sarit at that time, if I'm not wrong. Then they decided they're going to do a business together. And they bought clothes because at that time, secondhand clothes were booming. So they bought bales. Now, they didn't understand that bales are usually air compressed. So then there's a lot of clothes in bales, right? They opened the bale. Needless to say that they slept on clothes for about a month.
Because the stock wasn't moving.
It wasn't moving. There was a lot of clothes. And the way he says it, it's like it's always just a funny story. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's always just a lesson.
Yeah.
So in all the regrets that he may have had, maybe one thing I would have loved, maybe he was teaching me, if in hindsight, if I think about it, maybe he was teaching me to make better decisions, but I would have liked it to be clear. Mm. Like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But I guess he just wanted me to learn from his mistakes as well. So maybe that's what I'd like to learn about regret.
I don't know. Regret, I struggle with regret. Just like Tracy. I struggle to understand.
You're right. That's something that we need to go
to figure out. Claire, next.
Oh, sure. Things I wish my dad taught me about success and things I sigh my dad taught me. I wish my dad taught me about opportunities. Okay. Gosh. Again, I just wish it was honest conversations because you see, like in that story for the bales.
And I'm sure they ordered a lot because they're like, they
it's
can't
not
be
enough.
So let's order 20.
We've had conversations now where he's told me how difficult it was. There's a country that he had to move to, and actually he moved all of us to, and we didn't know that was going on because the company was paying for our school fees, but he had his worst time there, right? I've learned about it. I think that's the first time I've heard him talk about something similar to depression, right? But before that, I wish he would have taught me how to deal with failure, maybe. Because again, I brush it off and move on. And I've learned that that's not the best way to talk about it, but it's worked for me. So I'm just like, I'm not scared to fail. And I have failed very many times, you know, but I just keep going on. Things I wish my dad taught me about success, that it doesn't define you. That success doesn't define you because we're always told, do this, be this. People are called by their labels and their names and their achievements and their accolades. But for me, I'm just like, it shouldn't be a definition of who you are, because I just don't think success should define you. I wish he taught me that. Because I feel like my dad was also very old school in like go getter, do this, do that, and I felt a sense of, or rather it was all in my mind, but I felt like he's disappointed because you see I got pregnant early, I didn't get successful in his way or his definition of success. So then it played a big role in self-doubt myself because of what he had put success to be. So it should, basically, I wish he taught me that it should not define you. Things I thought, I wish my dad taught me about opportunities. I don't know if I wish anything because my dad would do it. Go and do it. You know, he was so supportive and he's just like, there's nothing he'd always, in fact, my dad is probably my number one I think, my number one supporter. And if he's watching, this is probably the only time I've ever admitted this, but he is my number one supporter. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I'll start with opportunities.
Yeah.
Is I wish I was also told, go and do more.
Right.
Just do it, right? In regards to success, I wish I was told that success is not equal to having a lot of money. Because for the longest time, that's how I equated success.
Right.
Like, I have so much money, I have cars, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And then there comes a time in your life where you're not making that much. You don't have the car, you don't have what. And it's like, okay, does that mean then you're a failure? No.
No.
Right. You're just in another season of your life. And there's a lot of things that you're successful at during that season.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
In regards to the first one, which was...
Failure. Yes.
I wish my dad told me that it's okay to fail.
Mm.
And that should never stop you from now seeking more opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm that type of person, when I fail, I'm just like, what?
It's the end of the world.
Yeah. And it really stops me from growing and trying to explore other things.
Right.
Yeah. So I wish I was told that.
About successes, I wish dad had told me to sit in my successes. Mm. I think dad is a performer. So he likes to see what's next. Okay, so you got your A, what's next? What are you doing in uni?
Right.
Okay, you've graduated, what's the next job? Okay, you've gotten this contract, what's next?
Right.
So I think it's a typical African dad. I don't know if African dads are like that, but it's always just like high performance. Mm. So sit in my successes. I've really struggled with that. I'm always on to the next. Opportunities. I don't know if he taught me and I didn't listen, but I think not to be so timid. I have a very cautious spirit sometimes when it comes to taking opportunities. I tend to overthink it a lot.
Right.
Which is weird because I saw him, dad took so many opportunities that were thrown at him. Even if he failed at them, like, he would grasp the opportunities that were thrown at him. So maybe he did and I just never listened. Mm. But I think about timidity. Mm. I have a very cautious spirit that I wish sometimes I couldn't. And then about failure... Oh, that it's okay to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's okay to fail. Because I think that high performance thing, and I saw him with my other sisters. Mm. He always pushed for performance and always used to push for you to become the best you could be.
Mm.
So failure always felt like I was disappointing him. Mm. And I know he never used to take it as disappointment. He just wanted the best you could be. But that it's okay. Atoki fail, Nisawa.
Yeah. Okay.
Here is it my turn?
Yeah, it is your turn.
Okay. See,
you can pass the dress so I can be peeking. Sure. Yeah.
Things I wish my dad told me about having my own money. Things I wish my dad told me about having my own money. Number one, that it's very important as a woman to have your own money.
Mm-hmm.
That you shouldn't wait for anyone to help you come out of a situation, that you're more than capable of making your own money and sustaining yourself.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
About money, saving.
Yeah.
My dad is, I love you, dad, but you're not really, savings is not really a strong suit. So I think I wish my dad taught me a lot about saving. I think I struggle with savings. Mm. And when I look at this pattern back at home, I'm like, yeah, now I see where I get it from. Yeah. So savings.
Is Ben a good saver?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just too spendthrift. Yeah.
I'm with you right up there.
Saving.
I wish my dad taught me about savings. And yes, not throwing it, like showing me.
Yeah.
This is how you save.
Exactly. Yeah.
Spend 30, save 30, something.
That budget.
You know, budget math because,
because it's one of those things where if you don't learn when you're young, it's really
hard.
Especially when it comes to money. I don't know what's the thing with money. It's so hard.
Yeah.
And speaking of starting young, if there's one thing that I wish my dad told me was the power of tithing. I would have started tithing
a long time ago.
You know?
Yeah.
I wish I had that talk with
No, my dad drilled tithing into me.
Yeah.
But saving. So like tithing, I'm good, faithful. I'm faithful.
Yeah.
That but, faithful servant. The first thing.
It took a while. It took a while to get me.
I learned as an very recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the tithe, because it's usually the first thing you pay off and then everything else.
Everything else.
It's been a journey.
Because even for me, I used to do other things, and then I'm like, oh, now I can tithe.
Now you can do it, yeah.
But then now it's like, I'll be somewhere and I clearly need to pay something, and I'm like, just wait,
I need to tithe something.
Yeah.
I think he drilled that in me. I got it a bit later,
but
that's my fault. He drilled it, but savings?
Psh. Yeah.
Now when you have somebody who's like a super saver.
Mm. Oh, you're just like...
Is your partner a super saver?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You know, us two spend thrift La Vida Loca every day. Yeah. Ben is better than me a little bit. But me, like kinda. Basi mbele.
I think mine is more of like back to being in survival mode for so long.
Mm.
You're so used to not having to a point where when you have, you're just like,
you hold on to it.
Yeah.
I think that's Ben's mentality.
You know? So you end up not saving because you need to save, but you're just out of fear.
Yeah.
And even whatever you're saving, ata ikusaidi.
Yeah. Need to one to pesa hapa. It ikusaidia, yeah.
So
I also was on survival mode, especially the first years when my kids were born. Imagine. So like when it came to the financial topic for with my partner when we're about to get married, it's like, so how do you handle your finances? And it's like this. And then he's like, what? Yeah, like this.
It's not that bad.
And I have survived.
I'm here.
I have fed my children. No. So then I did have to unlearn a lot of things, prioritizing your costs, your expenses, how you're saving. And it's been so much easier. Yeah. It's been kujinyima pia ni muhimu sometimes. Yeah. But I have had to learn and unlearn a lot. But I do wish that my father taught me those things.
Savings and budgeting.
Because I think even something dad taught me, and I don't know if this is a good thing, it's about like that treating myself thing I got from my dad. When I'm sad, like dad buys himself suits so many times.
My mom
like
as well.
He's just that's always ready to treat himself.
That's my partner.
Yeah, Sunday to church, like almost every time a new something.
But what if
like
you budget something for that?
You
know what I mean? Like, what if you budget for treating yourself? Because I like to treat myself too. You know, so just have a budget for treating yourself in there.
Speaking about treating yourself, I think that's something I wish I was taught.
That
it's okay to treat yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I don't treat myself. Aww. Like, I have to be forced or pushed
to get yourself
to buy
something.
Myself things. It could even be something as simple as a meal.
Mm. Oh wow!
And I'm gonna be like, why am I doing that? Like I could.
I could spend this money elsewhere. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And cook at home.
Like, yeah, and it's like.
But how easy it is for you to do it for your daughter, though? Like, if she wants a meal.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like it comes also from a place again of fear.
Survival, yeah.
And it's like, okay, you're going to spend, let's say, $600 on rice.
Mm.
And you don't want to spend something for like $300 on your... I don't know, like...
It's a weird thing in your mind. It's a weird math. Yeah.
I mean, once in a while, it's okay. Like, for the longest time, I had to be pushed to buy clothes.
Mm. Right? For yourself.
For myself. So, for the first year of after I became a mom, I didn't do anything, right?
For you.
For myself. So, my partner was away for work, and he sent me money. He's like, Tracy, go to the store and buy yourself. Don't buy the child any more clothes. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I went and bought myself like two items.
And then the
rest of the stuff was like baby stuff. But from that moment, I just started realizing that it's important to buy for myself things. So I'm starting to, you know, buy myself, even if it's like a earring, like a pair of jeans, whatever. Just slowly.
That's cute. You're
going to get that. That's why I was asking if it's easy for you, because I have the same problem where I'll tell anybody, even my sister, I'm finally going shopping for clothes for myself. And then I come up with one item for myself and everything else
is for the kids.
Yeah. Or for, you know, my friends.
That's just always going to be the case. Yeah. But as a parent,
yeah, yeah,
you'll always think about your child first.
Yeah.
It comes naturally.
It's so natural. Like, you don't even feel like you are.
I fear mine might not. I might just go and buy everything for myself.
No, no, no. Imagine.
And my kid is walking around naked, but I have the latest stuff.
No.
That would be so weird. 2%.
Yeah.
Ben would kill me.
but yeah. Well done.
So it comes with, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You'll get there. All right. This is one, actually. Things I wish my dad taught me about bad boys. That they exist. Like, yeah. I think for me, I thought every guy was good.
Yeah,
every guy was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I thought everyone is like dad, of course. Sweet, kind, present, everything. So I think I wish he told me that bad guys.
Did you ever date any bad boys?
I did. Okay. I did. And maybe in that sense, maybe it's my definition of bad boys. It's not like what the movies.
The baddest.
Yeah. It's not the gangster kind of bad boys.
Right.
But in my definition, they were just not good for me. They were not right for me in any shape, form, or manner.
Mm.
So I think I wish you told me they exist.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wish I was told how to identify a bad boy.
Yeah.
And and if my dad was present, I would have wanted him to tell me, don't go any further.
Mm.
Because I feel like, you know, with a dad, it's so easy for a dad to be like, you're not going outside that door.
Yeah.
And there's actually fear in your heart that you're not going to leave.
Right.
And I really wish I had my dad to be like, you're not going to see that boy. And there's nothing else you can do about it.
Yeah.
It takes me back to those. You remember those Bollywood movies we'd watch?
Mm.
of this girl who's been told, don't get out of that house.
Yeah.
Or you pay that cowboy to go to another country and never come back. I wish I had a dad to pay off this guy.
This guy to go to another country. Like,
Because I have dated, especially like my first boyfriend out of high school was a very bad boy. And I really look back and I'm like, I really wish I never got together with that man. Right. And I feel like a dad would have more power to say no.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Leave my child.
Yeah. Now that you say that, even when I think about bad boys, I wish you told me like bad boys are not, because I think dad drilled bad boys are guys who drink, who smoke weed,
right.
Who like, you know, just are against the word of God.
Yes.
But bad boys are also guys who just don't treat you right.
Yeah.
Who are not kind to you, who speak down on you.
Mm.
And I think I spent a lot of time, I was like, if you're not smoking weed and drinking alcohol, then you must be right for me.
Right.
But truly, your character is just trash.
Yeah.
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 I like the fact that you've said that, like, it's not just the smoking and the drinking, because when I got older and I started having the conversation, because I had the conversations with my exes, with my mom, but when I started having them with my dad, like, he was on my side a lot more and I'm like, you get it.
Yeah.
Whereas for my mom, it was, you know, as a lady, you know, do this, you know, and my dad is like, not having it. He's like, that is not okay. That should not happen. So I appreciate that about him. However, growing up, every boy to my dad was a bad boy. So if they were a boy, they were bad. Okay. So no contact, no conversations, no nothing. So I really wish that in that sense that there was a little bit more grace and I guess allowance to be able to sort of have that conversation in terms of this is my friend, because there was no boy that
who
was
could
not
be
a bad boy.
The next one was about nice guys. What do you wish dad had told you about nice guys?
That they're the best.
I don't think because when I told you we've had very many conversations, I think the one thing that he did make it very clear is that nobody is perfect. And so accepting somebody's flaws and understanding them to a level where then their actions don't make them a bad person. And this is also a conversation I've had with Barak. It's who they are that you look at rather than some of the small things that may irritate you that, you know, that you can then just easily paint them as bad or nice, because there's a lot of wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm telling you this.
Mm.
So for me, maybe what I wish he did tell me is when I was growing up, I just wish we had conversations about boys. Like, honestly, yeah. I was like,
more conversations
then,
about boys.
Then. But now, no.
But I, you know, now that you're talking about, you know, wolf in sheep clothing, I wish I was told that it's okay to take your sweet time when dating. Like, don't get into a relationship and now you're just moving over to the next thing. Like, take your time and have your checklist.
Right.
The things that you can take and the things that you cannot take. And I say that because sometimes you look at the relationships that you've been in and you're like, man, I shouldn't have been in that one for that long. You know?
And so I feel like if you had those conversations about specific relationships, like, you'd have made decisions easier as well.
Like, hey, dad, I have this guy, X and X and X. Today this happened. Yesterday he did this. You know, what do you think? Blah, blah, blah. I feel like it would have really made a difference. Dating and understanding bad boys and nice guys. Better.
I think even when you speak about dating, I think dad, because he values faith so much, he's, and he's old school, it was dating for marriage. So I think for every guy I was with, even at 20, I'm looking for a husband in you. And like, really, that's the most ridiculous thing a 20-year-old could do, because your brain hasn't even formed completely. Even his as a guy hasn't formed completely.
He's so, way behind.
Like, he's way behind in terms of maturity. So I think I spent a lot of time looking for husbands in boys. And like, I wish he had drilled in me that it's okay to date just for, but not a, like a Christian father would allow you to just date for the sake of dating. But that's because,
you know, in the back of his mind, he's like, they're definitely going to be having
sex. But I think I spent so much time just looking for a husband in an 18-year-old. Like this.
Like how?
How? Make it make sense. The math is not mathing.
Yeah, you're actually right.
All right. Next up, we're on the last round, I think.
Almost there.
I hope you guys are enjoying this. I feel like we've had so much time here.
I feel like we've
forgotten about them.
Okay. Things I wish my dad taught me about resilience. Oh, no. This one I don't wish he taught me about. Because my dad and pushing
resilience,
through. Oh, yeah. That was like a number one. Because one of my earliest memories I can remember. I don't even know if this is resilience or I don't even know child trauma. Is when he was teaching us how to swim. We used to go every Saturday with my sister, and my dad got tired of how scared my sister would get getting into the water and how long she's taking. And, you know, she has to push herself. You got to do it. You got to keep going. And so he grabbed her and he threw her to the middle of the pool, something similar to what the roaming chef did. So even when I saw that video, I sent it to my sister and I'm just like, see, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. And she cried, but she swam her way to one of the poles and, you know, she was okay. So he has really taught us in the most unique ways
to be resilient.
He pushes us.
Resilience, Tracy?
I wish, oh man, I guess you can go as I think about it.
Okay. About resilience, just like Claire, dad has done, and I think he's taught us not by sitting us down, but by watching him. He's picked himself up. Every failed business, every failed business relationship, especially business when I think about it, he's picked himself up every single time. You just close... You close this business, it's on to, we think, we re-strategize, we get to the next one. And I think I've carried that resilience. You keep on pushing, It's hard, but you keep on, you can step back, breathe a little, but you get back into the arena. And you keep fighting.
It's the same for me, I think. I'll just piggyback on what both of you have said. I wish I had, you know, my dad around to just show me how to be resilient. However, my mom did show me how to be resilient, but not in like talking. It's in just the, how she was. You know, she just had to be resilient. So in that sense, I also had to be resilient. But also now with my partner, I see it and I really admire how resilient he is. Because, man, if there's someone who's just going to keep pushing, is him. I'm like, dude, can you just take a break? Like, just what you're saying about the failed businesses. In the past, like, 2 years, I've seen a lot of no's. Him being told so many no's. And he's just, Okay.
Yeah. Good. Great.
You feel let's keep moving.
Yeah, let's just keep moving.
Yeah.
And now that I'm seeing a lot of things come to life, I'm like, wow.
You did it.
Like you're
that
so
resilience paid off. Yeah.
And I like the fact that now my daughter has such a role model, such a figure, to see.
She's gonna sit back when she's like 20 like us and say, "Yeah, my dad taught me resilience." Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Is it me or is it?
Well, it's things I, this says thighs, so I don't know who was typing this. Where was your mind? So things I wish my dad taught me about jealousy.
Oof.
That it's a kawaida emotion. I think it's okay to feel jealous. It's what you do with that emotion that's the problem. I think he drilled it to me that don't do this when you get jealous. Like, just don't get jealous in the first place. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a very kawaida emotion. Yeah. But you need to be very careful that you check it so that it doesn't lead you to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah.
I wish my dad told me that when you're feeling that sense of jealousy or why is that person having it better than me, ask yourself, why not that person? You know, isn't that also God's child?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
So I wish that's what I was told, because even now I usually look at situations and I'm like, why not them? Like, God also loves them as much as he loves you.
Yeah.
So good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. I wish I was told that. Yeah. Why not them?
I think I would be, I'm going to jump on that same one as you. No, because I want to say from a point of insecurity, but I'm also like, isn't that where most of jealousy comes from?
Yeah.
And so there's this theory called the missing tiles syndrome. I don't know if you've heard of it, where if you walk into a room and there's a tile that's missing from the ceiling, the first thing that you'll notice is that tile and the space and the hole. And it's like, why is that tile not there?
Right.
And it's sort of similar to what we experience as human beings, where it's like, for example, I have Kikuyu legs, so I don't have this calves. Legs? You know, when you have the squimbies,
you know,
right?
What? Today I was actually telling my trainer, I was like, bro, this
we need to work on them.
This thighs can't be like this. Yeah. And I'm walking around with chicken legs.
Get that completely. Yeah, so I like I overwork that. Them, but somebody usually tells me it's jeans. And I'm just like, they will come, okay? Yeah. And so what I find myself doing is admiring, because it's not really from a point of jealousy, it's admiring, oh my gosh, calves, look at her calves. Oh, those are nice calves. This is just an example. But in most cases, jealousy stems from insecurity. And it's when I use that same theory of the missing tile syndrome, is what you feel you're missing in your own life, which is now where you come in, where it's like, why not them? You know what I mean? But for me, what I wish I could have been taught by my dad when it comes to jealousy, I think it would have been the identity in Christ, because that would have really, really helped with whatever it is or whatever I'm feeling I lack that this other person has. Because then it's like, it's okay that they have it. I am enough. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
This is their journey. I am enough. This is my journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe just that. Yeah.
But you know what? Now that we're done. No. Babe, you haven't said yours. Sorry.
No. It's the kawaida emotion. Jealousy is a kawaida emotion. Yeah.
But you have your question.
Yeah. I have one and one last one. We'll finish. Okay.
You'll remember.
I'll remember.
Things I wish my dad told me about my period.
What's he going to say?
What is he going... Exactly. He doesn't know anything.
I know. He's going to probably be like,
on this one, I'm fine. I'm fine hearing it from mom.
I just wish he didn't make it so uncomfortable, because he wouldn't even say the word. It's period. He's obitu za wanawake.
What's chana?
Just say, I'm on my period. We're on your period. And then like... He'd say, like, whenever my sister and my mom and I are having moods or whatever in the house, he'd say this in Kikuyu, hey, nikwadoka. Like, it's like things are really messed up in here. Rather than just being open about the fact that period.
Oh my God.
So I wish we had open conversations. I don't want you to tell me how to put on my pads, but I want to be like, Dad, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm having cramps.
I'm cramping.
Right now.
And I'd like some soup or I'd like something. Something.
Yeah, yeah. Something.
I don't see my dad caring very much. Yeah, so it's that. Fine. Okay. It's cool. Is there anything that he would have said or done that would have made it easier with our partners? Is it any easier with our partners, first of all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're not like hiding to change. You're just like, okay.
Yeah. Here it is. I'm on my period.
Please throw it for me.
Please get me Please give me tampons.
Yeah, and they're like, which one, maxi thing?
Yeah.
Or extra long? I mean, I don't think they would have said anything for us to be easier, to have it easier with our partners. I think that's just one of those things where you live with someone for... For some time, and it's like, oh my God, I left this on the toilet. Now. Please throw it for me.
I don't know. I think it has to do with individuals, because I've seen a couple of my cousins still like uneasy to talk about it with their husbands. But I think the role that also your partner plays in making you comfortable, because then I'll give you an example, which is a very strange example. I don't know if I should say this, but. Actually, you know, it's fine. I'm not going to say it. Mm-hmm. Before my partner got comfortable with certain things, he was completely uncomfortable with it. I'm the one who just had to keep pushing the agenda.
To keep like, saying it. Yeah.
You know, this is fine. This is fine. This is fine. But had he also not made it comfortable for me, I don't know if I would have cared, actually, to be honest. Because I didn't care. I didn't care about this other thing as well. So I feel like it depends on the individual.
Yeah.
If you get out of that stigma of, oh my gosh, periods, these are sensitive, hide. Because my mom still tells me, ficha hizo pa. You know what I mean? And then I'm just you're supposed to hide them. No. And the question was what? How they respond to it to back. You know how you respond to it. You're like the best. Like, honestly, ice cream, chocolates, like when I'm on my periods, I get spoiled quite a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, I actually... wish it was things his dad had told him
about
right. women on their periods. Because I find Ben gets very, especially the PMS. Mm. Okay, and I can take it. Let me admit, I can get very dramatic. But I think I wish he'd been taught how to handle a woman who's going through PMS, who's going through like... Because I think he would think I'm just being emotional, I'm just being dramatic, I'm just being all these things. But truly, it's just... it's hormonal, like I really can't.
But you can't do anything.
Yeah.
Andrew, you know, when I was growing up, when I was in high school, I used to think like girls used to pretend about the hormonal thing until I got to my late 20s, 30s. Yo, I've called all my friends. Let me ask you something.
Is it
going down? Is it me or is it normal to feel this? Because like sorrow is sorrow.
It's deep.
Sadness is sadness. It's heavy. You can be crying.
Smallest of things can make you
can
tear.
Trigger you. Smallest of things. And honestly, in their defense, I don't even understand it sometimes, you know, you know, like I don't get it. So I usually warn this guy, like on my calendar, I'm like, oh, I'm about to be on my period, honey. Mm. So warning, heads up, you know, and he will know, okay, how to maneuver, how to navigate. Or like, that's just PMSing and he won't take things seriously. Because honestly, it also gets me off guard.
Completely.
Yeah.
I wish he'd been taught how to do it.
Mine is so inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And not the flow, but
the PMS,
how I feel, because sometimes I'm okay, most times I'm actually okay, I don't even know that I'm going through
God's
stuff,
favorite.
And then there's some days I'll do something and he's like, what's up with that? And I'm like, which one? You know? But most times, honestly, you can't even tell.
Mine is like clockwork. Yeah. Mine is like, really? I know it's time now, guys. Unleash the beast. Yeah. All right, last question for the day.
Did I not ask it? Okay, last question. Things I wish my dad told me about heartbreak. Hey.
That it hurts.
Yeah.
That it hurts. Oh, my goodness.
And sometimes it feels like physical pain.
That's what I'm saying. It actually hurts. I remember my first... heartbreak with that kabad boy I was telling you guys about. It was painful. I was vomiting. I'm like,
you even think you're sick, like physically
honestly,
sick.
You know, you're having insomnia, bro. I was buying Nitol.
It's bad.
You know, I had no business buying Nitol at that age.
Yeah.
But, yo, like, usingizi na ingia six. you're like, guy, you nasikia tu kudai.
And like, it's the end of the world,
it's the
literally.
End of the world. And it really feels like it's so gloomy.
Yeah.
You know, and you have this cloud just raining. You're walking, you remember those cartoons where someone is walking and they have a cloud.
Yeah.
Everywhere else is sunny. But, you know, it's gloomy on their side. Yeah. And yeah, I wish I was told that. And talk about your heartbreak with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I held it in. Like, you cry, and then you pick yourself up and you move on.
One day you're just binge drinking for like 2 months, and then you're back in the game.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, that it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Claire?
I think that it hurts, but also he did go through and still continues to go through some of the difficulties that I've had to face when it comes to heartbreak, especially because for me, there were kids involved. So I don't know if I would say what I wish you could have taught me, because I feel like everybody's heartbreak is sort of different. It hurts. It hurts like crazy, but there's different angles to ways you can be able to maneuver it. So like with my situation, I think the best he could have just been is been there for me, okay, like to support me. I don't think there's really much else he could have done.
My friend usually says this, ukisha tapika like 2 or 3 times. After umetoka hapo, kuna hati. Like the 4th, the 5th, the 6th,
that was bad.
But you have to tapika the first time.
That's kind of true. Yeah. I don't know. But it depends on the person.
I think you have to sort of like build some sort of like tolerance.
Yeah.
Resilience.
Because,
or maybe because you also grow up and your emotions are also more mature.
They're different.
Yeah. So it gets easier.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Yay. Did you guys enjoy it?
You had a question for us.
Oh, yes.
I had a question. You know how we've been asking the things that we wish our dad told us?
Right.
I'm just thinking about what if they actually didn't know these things that we wish that they
that they
told us.
You are right? Correct, 100%.
Or because it'd be weird if they withdrew some of this stuff from us.
This information.
But
or they genuinely just didn't know.
You know
what
how
to
we used
do,
to say,
how to approach it.
Like by the time I'm 24, or the time I'm 30, I'm gonna be this. Maybe they're also trying to figure out life.
They're also trying to figure out how do I best communicate this with my child in a way that they can understand. How will this information hurt my child?
Right.
Or trigger something.
Fear. Like they're scared. It's they want to protect you.
Yeah. And I'm asking this because now that we're parents, it's like, How would you have some of these conversations with them? Because you know, you also want to protect them. You don't want to break their heart. You don't want them to feel sad, whatever. So it's challenging.
Yeah.
I think our dads did such a great job.
Our dads and moms.
Your dads and mom.
Yeah.
And did a very great job in raising us. Both of you outstanding women.
Thank you so
much. You too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Kudos, mom, dad.
And dad.
Dad in absentia.
But to answer your question and how we'd go about it, I've had to very difficultly accept the fact that I cannot protect my kids from everything. I cannot.
It's a difficult realization.
It is hard.
It's very hard. And you just cannot. So for me, it's just have those difficult conversations. Be there for them as much as you need to be there. Affirm your love for them as much as you affirm your love. There's something that I learned from my mom-in-law, which I actually wish, this is one of the wishes I wish my dad did, was that even in times where I messed up, that they would have told me that they still love me. You get what I mean? So that's what I'm trying to do with my kids. Like, there's nothing you're going to do that is going to make me stop loving you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm upset, I'm angry,
but
I'm disciplining you,
but
I love you.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So just be there as best as you can for them, because and having those difficult conversations just to answer the question. Yeah.
And pray for them.
Oh yeah. On your knees.
My parents did a lot, but one thing they did really well is pray for us.
You guys, I'm sure at 3 a.m.
Hey, they were. I'm kind of saying, I wasn't gonna do that. But you could hear them praying for you.
Hit you, and then it misses.
And then you're like, it's that 3 a.m.
prayer.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, ladies. I hope you had fun.
Oh yeah.
We were ambushed, but it was a really good conversation. Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. You know, congratulations. congratulations to you and Ben.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I think it's such
you.
A beautiful thing to see partners like do something together and grow together and achieve things together.
Thank you.
And it's really, really inspiring.
Thank you. Yeah. And thank you for honoring. Thank you. And for honoring our invite. Thank you so much. I feel like I'm looking at this camera again for the second time because I've been looking here the whole time. Yeah. I just like, but thank you guys so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. We will see you guys on the next Juried episode.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.